And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, with Davi Barker.
Good morning.
We're busy, and it's freaking not cold.
No, it's not even the slightest bit chilly.
Not a bit, unless you jump in the pool and stand out in the low humidity, and that'll freeze your butt off. That's one thing that a lot of people, they don't know when they come to Arizona. They're all, we're going to jump in the water. We jump out and we go into the lobby up to the hotel room and the elevator, and kind of because it's so dry, and you go into air conditioning, you freeze, and you got hypothermia, purple-lipped kids, laying in the desert, because it really has an impact, a dry. But it makes it to where when we go out, we don't sweat. It's so dry and hot. You're just hot, and you're just, you lose pounds. And if you don't know to drink water, I mean, you'll just be, like, dead.
Oh, is that the trick?
Yeah.
The trick is drink water. Good to know.
Yeah, good to know. Good to know. And first days we weren't bringing out a pitcher with us. We're out there, ka-chunking. All right, tell the people what we did.
We built a dome.
A very small dome?
A very, very small dome. It is as small as Phoenix is cold.
It's a half-inch conduit. We can go three-quarter or inch, but that's like, damn. And then we did a half-inch conduit, 23-foot-plus dome, 23.3, something like that. It's a large dome, and this thing is like two stories.
It's taller than your garage.
Yeah, it's taller than
the workshop out there.
Yeah, it's
taller than the basketball hoop out there.
Way.
They pretty much, I think we took over the basketball hoop.
Yeah, no, we, right. It's pretty big. So it's kind of bigger than we, yeah. That's kind of big. Let me tell you this. We get shipped to, that's another thing. If somebody's driving around through Phoenix, around Arizona, going to Porkfest, let me know, because I'll pay you a couple hundred dollars to ship this. I'm going to pay at least that, or more to, go through some shipping company to get it there in time. But so we have to ship this thing like this afternoon or tomorrow at the latest. And what we're doing, we got the dome done. It only took a couple hours worth of work, a chunking out. I mean, we got the workshop down, man. We can build all kinds of stuff. But, putting it together is a pain in the butt. You need like a, big tree and a limb to suspend it and kind of, it's a pain in the butt putting together. Derek and Ben and those guys, if they start on that without us there, I pitted the fool.
Yeah.
So they will get it together, and then covering it. God, it's so big. It cost a gazillion dollars, man, to fabric. So we may go to a fabric store. There's a remnant place and everything. We could wrap it like a turban and have some cool colors and backlit and so on. But the main thing we're working on today is the skull face.
Yeah.
That's going to be, last night it's midnight. I'm like, we're done.
I think we can do this part in the shade. I think it's I think that's a possibility.
Shade. Well, we got enough shade. There's a tree. We just got to reconfigure where we're at. But so it's fun to work with. We're just on a time constraint. I didn't know that it's not this weekend, but next weekend we got to be there. I'm like, I thought I had an extra weekend here.
No. Nope.
Got Donna. And she goes, no, you got to leave. I'm like, what? Like, man, we got to head down plow, and we wanted to spend extra time on, art and doing,
We've done some art.
Oh, yeah, but I want to go get the, you know, the screens and start and making and shirts and so on. All right, this is the one thing. We're sitting there. You know, this is what happens when Davi's here. You know, we just get the yak. And we're sitting there, and we came up, and, you know, it's kind of, and you said something about
being off the
grid. We were looking
for pirate slogans, right? Like if you look around at popular T-shirts for pirates, it's all like, oh, drink your rum in the morning, you're a alcoholic. No, you're not, you're a pirate. Like, they're all about rum.
Surrender the booty.
They're all about booty. They're not like high-minded, right? And so it's like, what are the slogans? What are the catchphrases that are about piracy? I was thinking something about off the grid. Like, that's what we're always talking about. We're always talking about living off the grid. And then what do you say?
Above the grid. So Davi comes up with this artwork that has, like, the star feel when you go in the hyper, you know, drive or something, or, you know, faster than light, and you get the, kind of this streaking of the stars. Well, he put that kind of as the background, but the streaks underneath the ship kind of make a grid a little bit, you know, just kind of a flavor of a grid.
Yeah, so, like, it ends up looking like in the sky, it looks like hyperdrive. But then on the bottom half of the art, because there's also horizontal lines, it kind of looks like... It looks like a land. It looks like you're flying over...
Above the grid.
Grid.
And it's a really cool design. I'm really digging it, you know. This is... You know, there's a lot of... man, we just need more time. But the... So Davi's going to leave next Wednesday. And then straight from Atlanta, he's going to drive up with all his goodies and merch and girlfriend and everything up to New Hampshire. So we do that. And then I don't know what's going to happen after. We got all the boys and everybody to yak and talk about, you know, how we're going to save the planet. But I'm comfortable enough. I was from the beginning. But, you know, there's stages you got to go through. You know, you got to get the flavor and the art and the verbiage and the, you
denial,
know.
Denial, bargaining.
No. Right. We're not going to the grave. But, you know, so the thing is that we have to have a plan, and now I'm feeling really comfortable. You know, it's really taken off, and I'm wanting to make sure that, oh, here's some Davi pictures. I don't know, I should have had that up rotating for Davi. Here's Davi, ain't he pretty? That's with a buzz cut, man. What up with that? Oh, that was with authoritarian sociopathy. You know, a lot of this stuff, it all overlaps. We've been so scattered on so many things. Freedom's the answer, what's the question, on a lot of different issues. But when you start thinking about, like we were talking in the first hour, James Corbett, the Bilderberg meeting, and now there's another secret meeting outside the secret meeting that's not so secret anymore, so they're going to have a secret one again. And all this stuff that they're just, you know, ruling us. And now it's in Chicago, and they're going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. I've been through this so long, 30 years of seeing how they create these organizations and mechanisms that are just for ripping us off. We got this plan that we're going to bond in debt, you know, generations forever. And we just got to be able to escape, you know, get away, go away, that mindset. And, of course, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to benefit some select few rich. You know, they let a couple of cows escape just to give you hope, you know. You know, you pay your fine. But,
right.
But I'm there's... Yeah, you're going to see a lot of fruit come from this, and I've been seeing it already, and there's a lot of the really good minds that have been participating, and we're just, you know, now we got enough funding to help with funding, because we're going to need to do, you know, more stuff and launch, but we have enough stuff now in the video. We did, you know... Can Donna find the video of us chunking them out and people can see how easy that is?
Yeah, it would be on my YouTube channel. I posted it on Facebook if you have my Facebook.
I don't do Facebook.
Just called Making Domes, that's all.
Okay,
the title.
So she, if you go, well, what's your YouTube channel?
I think it's just my email address, themuslimagorist@gmail.com. I haven't put a lot of development into the YouTube part of that account. Yeah. But
Donna, can you find it? Donna's going to find it. We'll put it up. We'll play it. So you guys can see how these, you know, if you're watching the video, and then we'll describe it, you know, of us doing it. We just did. It was like 2 minutes. You know, we just showed you. Hey, just turn it on, man. You know, chunk, chunk, chunk. I do this. And then he hands me the camera and boom, boom, you did that. That's how we're doing it. You know, big, giant. And you're going to see how easy this is. And, you know, people are starting to use it and do it. I could be out there, you know, just to fill orders, mass producing all day.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and show the video crowd.
Brace yourself.
You know, it's excitement. Okay, three-phase, 23.3-foot dome. And that's the measurements and stuff that we had. Then we just take the conduit, put it on a measuring table. It just has a chop saw with a cutoff blade, big 14-inch one. And it just, you know, we do five sticks at a time. Okay, we'll bring that down a little bit. You don't need to hear that. But it cuts through, and we have the program that tells you, based on what phase dome, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, how dense the conduit is, how many sticks you have, different sizes. And it comes up with a formula that says, okay, you need to cut for this size, you need so many this length and this length and this length. We have a three phase. Then I cut those, and it goes over into the stamp press. It has a die cut on it that you put it in, it squishes it, and then he puts it in another one, and boom, it cuts the holes, and he show you what it looks like. He's doing both sides. And we have to make sure that it's parallel. You have a roller on the back. Anyway, that's what we're doing. So that's what you're hearing him stamping that. This is Davi and I doing. We just made a quick video. Donna put it up on today's archive. And then he shows you that's what it looks like. Boom, done. So this is, it goes really fast. Now, assembling it's a pain in the ass, you know, but because it's so large. I mean, this thing is huge. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, my encouragement of Derek Slopey, go big or go home. Don't be a wuss, you know. So I'm going, all right. So we made it big. You know, and you did another video on your YouTube and Facebook channels or whatever you have up there.
Yeah, it was yesterday, right after the show, I was out there assembling while you were doing the editing. So I just did another little update video about what we did the day before, what we were doing today.
Yeah, this is...
I'll probably do another one once the skull's assembled.
Yeah. You know,
that should be a reveal. Maybe we shouldn't put that on YouTube. We'll have to unveil it at Porkfest.
Yeah, maybe. Because it's going to be covering. I'm going to focus on covering the skull and having that lit more than I'm worried about. You know, I don't let people dress the dome with whatever the hell they want. You know, just let it evolve. You know, go put crap on it, put T-shirts on. You know, have a bunch of clamps and just let them go whatever. Because if it rains, you know, you got to make the decision. Because when we took the dome up a few years ago, a smaller one, it was really cool. It was called the Money Dome. We had it, you know, a covering on. We could roll it up. It had five vending stations around it. I mean, it was really nice, but it rained. And we didn't get a fabric that was waterproof. So you might as well have just been inside. I mean, you know, Donna's got this. All right, here you go. It was on video. You can see it. Or the streaming. Oh, yeah, that's right. We stream. So you go to freedomsphoenix.com on the top left. You'll see my picture up there with a play button on it. You just hit that, and you can see the live streaming. This is how big this dome is, you know. This is 23 foot, you know, across, and it's high. This is like a two-story thing. And, you know, building that, you start at the top, and you just keep assembling it until it goes up. But it gets heavy after a while. It's being a pain in the butt. But so this takes up, you know, a big chunk of driveway here. You know, fortunately, we got like a triple-wide driveway, a lot of concrete here, and we can put that up. And now we got to ship that. somehow to get it back. You know, it's like, you know, 5 foot sections. And so it's definitely you're going to see it, but it's going to stay in New England. Derek, you know, Crosby says that we could, you know, leave it packaged.
Seriously? Oh, you're going to leave it packaged. You're not just going to build Crosby a dome.
No. Well, he said we could. We talked about it. You know, we go golfing every year. We're up there. I go, hey, man, if you want, I can do it. And he goes, yeah, so then you got to get a permit or something. But, I'll probably get packaged up and go with Derek and he'll build. Because if they'll do something with it, you know, and help promote and look what we did, take it.
The Pirate Cove.
Yeah, a pirate thing. Got to be piratey. Put on coast.
We'll just secede a small area of land and build a dome on it, and that's it. Until it's contested, that's sovereign land, right?
Lieberland. Lieberland on the border of Maine and Canada and a little island of, you know, it'd be a fort. Put a turret on it. It's a gun turret.
There you go.
At the top. No. So, anyway, that's one of the things that we're working on, but the shirt designs and the logo and the art. But we have the first letter of Mark. You go to piratewithoutborders.com, and Ben Stone read this for us, and, you know, he did a really good job. So you can just listen to it. It's like 4 minutes or so. You get the idea. That's another thing. We wanted to do some – we have some buildup of advertising money that we're going to be doing a lot. And God, there's so much – we got to get this dome thing done today. You know, today, tomorrow morning at the latest, so we can get into, you know, other – all of a sudden, boom, it's going to be Wednesday. There's a bunch of other stuff I wanted to do. And so we're having fun. I lost a week. I thought I had another week. I thought it was the end of June, and it's not. It's like the mid.
Well, it's because of Somalia Fest.
Well, still.
You'd have almost another week if we weren't doing Somalia Fest.
So anyway, so I'd rather go to that and just, you know, not have anything to worry about. And I don't have anything planned, really, other than we, you know, may do the radio show. I'll bring that. I don't know if I want to. Oh! It's so much. You know what? I can see if Dr. Frank can, you know, cover, you know, at least do the Trump report. And he's having a baby. Did he have his baby yet? No.
It's like 3 days overdue.
No, man, that'll mean nothing. Yeah, we're like going. You thump the right melon, you know, on your ballot. Nope, you got another couple of weeks, baby. There's room left. So they didn't like hearing that. Atlanta. Tell the people why you're in Atlanta. What you plan on doing there? Are you going to be a zombie?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's sort of the hub of The Walking Dead is filmed there, plus a bunch of Marvel Studios moved there. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was filmed there.
Really?
It's a little burgeoning Hollywood East. I'm looking to get into the horror scene, right? So I'm there. I'm still writing Survivor Max 3. I'm attending all the, like, zombie conventions and pub crawls and things like that and zombie walks they've got. And just looking for pop culture festivals, you know, like, right, I've saturated the Liberty Festival market. I got to push these ideas out in some other venue.
Yeah, that was a good, you know, I remember Davi saying, you know, what was it? You're going, all the other monster genres is kind of like, you know, the one thing, you know, that they're out. Now it's like democratization of evil.
Right. So, like, thematically speaking, when you get into metaphor, the vast majority of monsters, the plot is the people versus the thing, right? You have one Frankenstein monster, you have one Dracula monster, you have one Wolfman monster. Well, the zombie is the opposite. The zombie is the collective versus the individual. The human survivor is the individual, and he's up against all of his friends and loved ones who are trying to
democracy.
Eat his face off.
Yeah, we voted, and we're walking slowly towards your stuff. You know, this is when you say dead walking, or what do you call
walking
that?
Walking Dead is the TV show, yeah.
No. I mean zombie walks or the...
Oh, but there's zombie walks and zombie pub crawls, and there's all kinds of other events.
Yeah, describe what this means.
It's like a 10K race or a 5K race or something, but people come out dressed as zombies. Or it's like a regular pub crawl, except people come out dressed as zombies.
Well, I've seen ones where they walk like zombies, mm-hmm. you know, for hours.
Sometimes
or two.
It's an obstacle course, yeah.
At zombie optical course?
Yeah, like you're a survivor,
like running
through a bunch of people dressed as zombies trying
not
to get
eaten. I want
to
see a Spartan obstacle race as a zombie.
There you go.
Trying to get over walls
they
and stuff.
They do that stuff.
They got to do like Z, big giant piles of them.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're back as we're doing, you know, looking at stuff here. Yeah, James Corbett suggested we, you know, go see And Then There Were None, or, you know, read the book. And it's Russell, Frank Russell, wrote this. And 23 years after the novel was published, he won a Prometheus Hall of Fame Award on this thing. And what it is the Bleeder Drive. I've heard that before, Bleeder Drive.
I haven't heard of that one.
You know, that's where that, I guess this is where that came from. It's faster than light drive system that permits the humans to colonize the galaxy. And then later, it's like 400 years later, they go to these different societies and they come across this one that's just anarchist. And how do you take it over? We're going to bring you back into the fold. You know, that was Hogan's Voyage from Yesteryear or something like that. It was the same kind of thing. They took embryos and robots and they went and colonized a planet and robots kind of raised them until 30 years later, the next generation came over to collect their spoils, and it's ours now. And when you have an anarchist society, how do you take it over?
You assassinate the leaders.
If you can find them, if there is any. So, you know, this is kind of the point that they're making, you know. So this is, I think, the point that Corbett was saying is that, you know, if you're trying to take over something or get them to change or grant you more rights or more links on your leash or something like that, it doesn't work. It never works. You know, it's always, that's kind of been what the great explosion of humanity across the planet was, just leave me alone. That was one thing that was interesting in Moana, the Disney animated cartoon. It's awesome, by the way. I highly recommend it. I'm, you know, I probably watched it in a month, probably 6-7 times, you know, showing people and watching it with the grandkids and so on. I really enjoyed the animation. It was amazing. Every hair. I mean, it was, I haven't played video games in a long time, and I'm sure they're going to blow me away if I ever get. I did get a PS4 or something, you know, after Christmas this last year. I went and got it, put it in, and found out you cannot play a game, even if you own the disc, you cannot play the game unless you're online.
Right.
Not. Take it back. Next. I'm not doing that. That just pissed me off. I buy the game and I got to be online. You got to surveil me. You know.
That's how they keep score.
Of what?
Of everything that you do.
We need to know your score. You know, think about it. That was, I think it was an 80s movie called The Last Starfighter. You remember that?
Yeah.
The Last Starfighter was a video game they put, you know, all over, and it was one at the near this trailer park that this kid, you know, was playing, and he kicked ass on it. You win. All of a sudden, a ship comes down and says, yeah, you're
welcome to level two.
Yeah. You're now the starfighter captain of we're going to go save the galaxy or something. And I get the feeling that that's what they're looking for. You know, it's kind of like Khan Academy. They need to track your brain. They want to track your acuity on whatever and how fast and your vocation.
I mean, Call of Duty and all those, like, aptitude. Army, like Tom Clancy sponsored war games. Yeah, that is about teaching you the technical skills and the callousness you'd need to be a soldier.
Well, I remember my son's, it ran on Windows, and there was Flight Simulator. You know, my son that's a pilot, he got all his ground school. He knew. I asked him when he was going, I went on one of his lessons when he was learning, and I asked his flight instructor, and I said, how many people have come to learn that they learned on, Flight Simulator, and they kind of got, you know, the radio down and what you say and do, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of experience there.
That's
part
of why I know it's so hard to crash into the Pentagon.
Why is that?
Flight simulators, man. You ever try crashing into the Pentagon? It's impossible.
It won't work. Sorry. Well, this is, I know, that is difficult to bring in a jet. Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But the, I asked him, and he said, I'm a majority. I thought it'd be a few, or, you know, it wouldn't be the first one. He goes, no, a majority of the people, by the time they get to him, they are already flight simulated up.
Yeah.
You know? So there was one called Longbow. There was an Apache Longbow, and it was sophisticated. I mean, for you to be able to play a video game, and you have all the instrumentation there to get in, and you have these, you know, some kid summer movie of, you know, like Matrix, you know, load me up, fly a Huey. But, you know, these kids, oh, yeah, I played it, you know, and they're right. Yeah. You know, they come in, you can pretty much, you know, as long as you know where the on switch, I wouldn't even know how to start it. Where's the freaking non switch, you know? No, so, you know, these guys, they know where to turn everything on, push the button, okay, let's go. And I'm going, all right. So these, doing that, they can see your aptitude to different things, and they just add it to your database of how fast you learn and how good and how much you know. And I'm like, eh, not so much. Sure as hell not for my kid, my grandkids. Here, get your brain mapped on the internet. You know, I'm just like, no, screw these guys. We do Khan Academy, same thing. They, mm-hmm. they get in your brain how fast and how much, which is great information. I want it on my computer. Encrypted on my. I don't need, you know, Khan and Bill Gates that, you know, gets all involved in that and everything, and all of a sudden they got another tech. Because what if you have all of these video games that you get on the Xbox, whatever the heck, and then when they go learn something at Khan Academy and you mesh that data? Oh, yeah, throw a little DNA scan in there, you know? All of a sudden, William Wallace at 7 years old is off by, an ion cannon somewhere. Of course. You're a threat to the future, boy.
He scored too high.
Yeah. Oh! You know, they don't do this anymore. When I was in junior high, this is what, 75, 76, around in there, they would have you read like 1984. Oh my God, I think we read Tom Sawyer. I mean, you're not allowed to read that anymore. And I mean, hell, they're taking that out of schools.
I'm pretty sure 1984 is off the curriculum. I remember reading that a few years ago.
It's off the curriculum, though?
Yeah.
And you're not... Yeah, no, that's... Like,
and then there was this whole thing where Kindle pulled it, and because the way Kindle works, the data is not stored on your Kindle, it's stored on your online account, so everyone lost 1984.
Memory hole. I mean, that was what 1984 was about.
Yeah.
It was them doing what they did.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? You know, I just... Ah. So...
It's almost like he wrote instructions for them.
Yeah, 1984, we're behind schedule. Well, this is, you read this stuff as you're a kid, and I remember going through and going, now it's like, it's clairvoyant, you know, the kind of stuff that's going to be happening, and we got to be prepared. I don't know what else to do other than, you know, be gone and be off the, be above the grid, you know, above the grid. But I like that. That really hit home. Yeah. The artwork looks really great. You know, what's some of the other ideas you had on art while you were here? We hadn't even gone over, so I see you're working over there all the time.
So I got a porcupine design.
Oh, really?
Which we might do just because it's Porkfest and it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a character, you know, that you've been working on?
Yeah, there's this character from Wampanoag folklore that's one of the native tribes in the New Hampshire area. It's called a puke wedgie, which is a half-human, half-porcupine kind of magic-using creature of the woods. And so I started developing them kind of like a species of Smurf. Like, the idea is that there are these porcupine creatures that live in the graveyard, or live in the junkyards, and they form little families, and they name themselves after, you know, the trash that they find in the junkyard. And so there's Pat Pringle, and there's, you know, the Nesquik family, and I just figured they'd be good for like little libertarian morality plays, right? But I got one that I liked better than the sketch is better than the other sketches, and so I used that one for the shirt.
Yeah, we gotta hit it hard. You know, damn, what is today? Today is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got all today. I'm going to, I got to edit really fast, as fast as I can. It still takes me hours to do, you know, the editing and all the stories that go to staff to put up for the Dream of Phoenix. I get Donna to help a little bit more. And we get at it. Plus, it's hot. I mean, you know, when it's 110 and you're outside doing, I mean, you're glad you got a pool. You know, you jump in every 10 minutes and back out so you don't die. And so it's coming along. With Davi's help, we're getting a lot of stuff done. We're going to represent at Somalia Fest, Pork Fest, within a couple of weeks.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, what were you going to say, Davi?
I said keep in mind that Somalia Fest is kind of more chill than Pork Fest. It's more like friends hanging out, right? So
I hope so.
If we need to take some time and spend that time developing whatever it is we're working on before Porkfest. Porkfest is the commercial enterprise, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, we just want to have some stuff ready because we got the silk screen. We haven't even done any screening yet, you know, because we got to get new shirts, you know, designs and stuff. Fortunately, last time you were here, I found a place that is just no muss, no fuss. I go in. It's been amazing how difficult it has been to find a place, a storefront that you can go in, say, here's my design, make me my screen. I come, you know, pick it up in a couple hours, you know. And they go, yeah, got that plate done.
Check it out. That one's got the most upvotes.
Okay, so this is a word cloud for pirates without borders. Okay. I like the other one, too, though.
The skull one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of an anarchist, hey, pirates without borders thing, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, all right, well, it's upvoted. You know, upvoted.
So there's a new Kill the President shirt design in here that
yeah,
people
Davi
like.
Comes up with. Okay, now wait a minute. I want to get the let me tell you what happened. It was at the Texas Bitcoin Conference in
That's 14, yeah.
Or something. Davi comes up to me and Tim Fry from Robertson Roberts and he says on a napkin sketch and he goes, "Would you wear this shirt?" And it said, "Kill the precedent." All right. And I'm going, man, if you're not at least a little uncomfortable, you're not radical enough, you know, because, you know, the first glance, you know, you're going to kill the president or something. It's the precedent. So,
I'm shocked you would think that. I would never say that.
It was Bob Murphy or Woods. I can't remember which one it was. It was Bob Murphy, I think. He said, you know, yeah, that's a spelling test for cops. Okay. So kill the precedent. So we have that. I mean, I'm around wearing that all the time.
Yeah.
So what did Davi do? He comes here and he goes, he just changed it to kill the king.
Kill the king. It's a little more explicit.
I'm going, nah,
It's for our UK listeners.
No. I just,
I put up a couple of different designs of new fonts for Kill the President and got votes on that. I got the Puke Wedgie design. I got the new Bitcoin spaceship.
I want to see Puke Wedgie. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, this guy.
Because the above the grid thing. You like that one? Oh, that's what that is. I saw it on your thing, but I didn't know what the hell that was. Yeah, I'm whatever. You know, it's your thing. But that's like.
If we're going to do a specific Porkfest shirt, I would do one of those, but it doesn't have anything to do with pirates.
Yeah, you got to put something, whatever, you know.
It has a little to do with Survivor Max, in the sense that they're the Pork Scouts, and I'm sort of playing with the idea that they're going to be playing with this myth or putting together kind of spiky armor or something like that, but...
Yeah, spiky armor, or keep the zombies away.
You got the Bitcoin Not Bomb spaceship.
Yeah, I saw that one.
The new logo.
Yeah, a spaceship made from a DC-3. It gets more and more spaceshipy, kind of like the silver sleek one, you know, of Star Wars, you know. And
there's a couple different Pirates Without Borders fonts people voted on.
Yeah, what are they? Did they have a preference here?
Yeah, they preferred the sci-fi font, the one on the right.
Yeah, but I like the skull on the left, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, did that with that. I like it on the side like that. That's kind of cool. I'm not sure how we would do that on the press. I guess we can just do it.
You print it off to the side. I mean, that one might take two screens, just like the off-the-grid one or above-the-grid one.
Yeah.
But the thing that I like about this, like, say we take the above-the-grid star pattern and we take the skull pattern here, there's no reason not to mix and match these things, right? Like, if we're going to do two screens on a shirt and we're going to be printing them ourselves,
so you can add different combinations.
We can put the skull here and then put the Belay of the State, and then we put the skull here and then put and we can kind of mix and match and kind of come up with more unique designs, especially since everything should have the website. We should have a screen that's just the website thing to stick on the arm or the neck or whatever.
I was not concerned. I was kind of surprised it took us so long to come up with the domain. You know, I'm just going, yeah. You know, Arizona Pirate Party was just a whole thing. I made that clear from the beginning. You know, did that because I knew it was going to become a thing, you know, and that there already is Arizona Pirate Party starting to pop up. You know, they're on Facebook. They're, you know, they want to do politics. Mm-hmm. Fine. But my thing is that I wanted to make sure that we had not that. And that's not really what it described.
Pirates Without Borders is way better.
Awesome. You know, Derek, we were just kind of, we came up with a bunch of stuff. And then when he did that, boom, done. Kill the precedent. Oh, I like what the anarchist A and the P kind of thing.
Now, see, that's the thing. Check it out. These are the same two fonts. This is the same font as the Pirates Without Borders shirts. But in the Pirates Without Borders shirts, people voted for the sci-fi font. And with the Kill the Precedent font, people voted for the graffiti font.
Yeah, because it didn't have the skulls kind of goes with the other one.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of has the angle, the faceted kind of angle thing.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, this Kill the Precedent.
I like the P. See the P there?
Yeah, I know it's an anarchist A, but I'm wondering if, you know, Kill the Precedent, it's like anarchism is the precedent or something. I mean, you're advocating anarchy, I guess.
Well, anarchy is unprecedented.
Kill the Precedent. With whatever. But I just like the slogan,
sure.
You know, so that looks good. Yeah, you know, so this is what Davi does. We get together, we just sit there and recreate and kind of, you know, and come up with whatever. So, and we got a big giant dose done last time he visited. I said, we just got to get here, right, together again, you know. Except now instead of being cold, it's freaking hot, but pool. And you've been playing with the grandkids, you know, over the weekend. It was a bunch of grandkids stuff.
Yeah,
we
fun.
Had birthdays and grandkids and OD on grandkids. But, you know.
Squirt gun fights and chicken fights. And
yeah, you know, we need Davi to come in so, you know, we can get on his shoulders and we can fight Papa.
Yeah.
And Donna had a kid. We had, they're shifting grandkids. They had to do a round robin of who got the most dunks or whatever. So we've been having fun. Now it's just head down plow. The next hour we have Sarara Korva. And she's coming in with Jimmy Carberry, and they have we've had them on before. They're big advocates for medicinal marijuana and its uses and so on. But they came up with a new product called Undo, D-O-O, U-N-D-O-O, and it's a buzzkill. It's when somebody ODs on, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to eat the whole chocolate bar, you know, and they're freaking, you're ready to fly like an eagle. And they go, you know, yeah, and Undo. They want something that be in the hospital rooms of Yonta, and you're undid. Boom, done, buzzkill. And I go, okay, that's cool to have. It's amazing that you would have, you know, heads coming up with a beheading, you know.
I mean, it makes perfect sense, like, especially since one of the primary, like,
complaints.
One of the primary objections is, I don't want my surgeon to be high while he's performing open-heart surgery. I'm like, that's never going to happen. That's never, ever going to happen. But it's a complaint. So if you tell these people, yeah, well, he could just, like, take this, like, pill or drink or whatever it is that this Undo stuff is, like, and now it's safe to operate heavy machinery.
Yeah, no, hey, man, you know, I like to drive to work high, but I don't want to do heart surgery high, so I take my pill.
Yeah.
And, And yeah, don't advocate for that. But the
I'll tell you what, driving smoking cigarettes is more dangerous for me than driving smoking high. I can smoke a cigarette and be so loopy it's not safe to drive.
Yeah, no, that it has, you know, I don't smoke enough that it doesn't have like a an impact on me. It's like, whoa, you know. And you smoke marijuana and drive, you know, you might get a ticket, but it's probably for
going too slow.
Exactly. I don't know. That car coming might hit me if I pull out at 5 miles an hour and a quarter mile is taken up by him and rear-ended me or something. You know, so I don't like driving, you know, under the influence. It's not comfortable. I'd just rather not. Okay.
I drive like an old lady anyway.
Yeah, I don't drive that much. I mean, I don't have to go very well. Even when I do, you know, Donna's usually the one driving. Okay, I wanted to go over some just, you know, before, you know, in the last minute here. Headlines. All right. There's a big scandal with Qatar in the Persian Gulf that's severing all its relationships with a lot of people, and are finding out to release members of the Gulf States royal family who were kidnapped in Iraq while on a hunting trip. According to people involved in the hostage deal, they paid like $1 billion or something. It was some ridiculous amount. And they just went, no, 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 you can't, and you're funding, and kind of, you know, and Al-Qaeda, and yeah, and it becomes a big deal, and Qatar says, screw all y'all, you know, so who's buddies with them? Is it the U.S. or some British Petroleum? I don't know. This is going to have some legs on, you know, the Middle East and how it's breaking. But they go, no, it's not terrorism. That's not what the real deal is. The real deal is natural gas. There's a natural gas thing going on. So you're going, all right. Then we have the anti-aging benefits of blood transfusion with babies. Bilderberger.
Attention CPAP users.
Like, there's new news on that?
Torture of your CPAP.
What?
There's new news on baby blood transfer?
Yeah, this is what happened.
What do you think of this design?
Make America grateful again. I like it. It's cool.
I think I want to do patches. For that,
yeah,
it wouldn't be a pirate thing. I mean, except that it's a skull. But I feel like it would kind of appeal to the like, kind of left hippie crowd, the old '60s.
Yeah, no, I can see that being a, you know, a patch that you don't have your, you know, make grateful again. You don't have that. You know, then you're not, you know, grateful, dead enough. Okay, now this is the thing. This is what happened. Years ago, there was a story on Freedom's Phoenix that had about young mice transferring blood to older mice and the mice becoming younger. Okay, there's some X factor. You couldn't just take the blood, put it in a bag, and then take it over to somebody or something and do it. It didn't work that way.
It dissipated too quickly.
Yeah, it went away.
Whatever it was.
There's some, you know, you got to have, like, you know, blood vessels shared or, you know, an IV or
right.
Big transfusion right away thing to get the benefit. There's some whatever antigen and something. And then that's where One Nation Under Blood or Blood Nation or whatever.
That's right. One Nation Under Blood.
Yeah, that Taron Lupo
it's a fun
wrote
book.
Was based on that story
mm-hmm.
that he saw. And then throughout the book, he had like, you know, Freedom's Phoenix headlines, the way that we do it, you know, that kind of, you know, walk the story through, which I thought was cool and very appreciative. I really enjoyed the book. I'm like, where's the sequel? I even bribed him. I mean, I'm like, hey, man, I got $1,000, $1,500 just to, you know, write the next one. You know, come on, man, let's go.
I'll take that deal.
You know, I bet you would. So then it says, claimed anti-aging benefits of blood transfusion from teenagers to those over 35. Blood biomarkers. None of the people in the study had cancer at the time of treatment. However, Karmazin's team looked at the levels of certain proteins called embryonic antigens. These chemicals are found in the blood of healthy people at low concentrations, but in larger amounts, these antigens can be a sign of having cancer. The team detected that the levels of the carcinoembryonic antigens fell by around 20% in the blood of people who received the treatment. However, there was no control group or placebo treatment in the study, and it isn't clear whether the 20% reduction. So they're finding that if they have baby blood, all of a sudden, or teenagers, this stuff, it just, all of a sudden, these older people are getting better. They show younger, whatever.
It's like cocoon.
Ah, that's right. the aliens came and the older guys started donging around and, you know, making whoopee in the pool and stuff.
That's what the cocoons were. They were giant genetically modified placenta.
Oh, is that what that
no,
was?
No, I'm making this up.
What was...
No, they were aliens. They were alien space pod things.
But they made old people young somehow.
It was the same
something.
Kind of a thing. They were full of stem cells or whatever because they were early in the aliens' whatever development. They gave off this sort of healing.
Oh yeah, they had it in a pool or something, yeah. And then they got in the water and something. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, that's what the so this is kind of that thing. But as soon as we start seeing that there's any benefit at all. Well, then, you know, you're at Bilderberger and they got a little baby strapped in a coma underneath their chair with an IV to them as they carry around like an oxygen tank.
Vampires.
Yeah. You know, this is, the vampires could have been a, you know, real story from visitors of whatever.
They're gonna set it up like those little baby carriers where people strap a baby to their chest to carry the baby around, but it's gonna have
I feel
like
some
tube.
Artwork coming.
It's gonna have its little it's gonna
I
have
feel
a straw.
Some artwork coming. You know, one thing I gotta do, you know, before we get to our next guest. Okay, this is good. There was a Halloween costume that Rick Tompkins, he ran against Harry Brown for the nomination in 1996. And for libertarians. And the whole reason was, you know, don't take federal matching money and all that kind of stuff. Well, he was state chair of the Arizona Libertarian Party. And for Halloween one year, he had this monkey on his back that had IV, you know, going in and had like this red lines. So it was a monkey on his back. And it was like Uncle Sam, little Uncle Sam had or something. He was like, Uncle Sam's a monkey on my back that's draining my blood. So I could see that, you know, you got a baby on your back or a baby on your front, like you're talking about, you mm-hmm. know, doing the blood. And it's not like they're draining your blood. You're doing it from them. Ew.
It's pretty gross.
You know, this is coming. And that's what that book, Blood, what he had done, Taryn, you know, a guy goes into a coma and it's like, I don't know, 13, 15 years later because he was at a IRS protest and they bonked him on the head or something. So he comes out. And his family had grown up, kids, his nieces or something like that. And what happened was they found that young kids were making a lot of money selling their blood for just this reason.
Right.
And then it became, no. You can't just, you know, from each according to their ability to each according to their need and the older people need. And it's a government program of you gotta.
Right.
So literally taking your life blood. For the benefit of the, I mean, it was a Social Security tax thing. You know, we hook you up, you're going to make us younger. So I'm just like, wow. All right, we'll go ahead and get ready for our next guest in the studio. We'll be right back.
You guys are going to both be on, right? You're going to need both of these mics.